Hello there. Welcome to Bible Talk. This is a podcast where we're going to read the Bible.
And then we're going to talk about it. It's a podcast for everyday people. And those everyday people have just started Matthew chapter 6. Again, a continuation of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount.
Correct. Okay. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, don't announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you.
When we give to the needy, we're trying to help people. But sometimes in the process, we can help our own image.
Right. Correct.
And so Jesus is addressing that here with, you know, his audience. He's not saying don't give to the needy. He's saying don't give to the needy in ways that...
Right. He's saying when you do, because you should.
Because you should.
Right.
That are secretly just efforts to make yourself look benevolent and charitable.
Right. Right. Hold back on those Instagram posts. I don't want to pick at that scab. But anyway, yes. Okay.
And, you know, there are times when, like, we've done charitable stuff, and we have used social media.
Absolutely, yeah.
To try and gain more givers and more support. Like, hey, join us in this thing. In the process, we risk.
Sure we do. Yes.
Hey, everybody, look at the wonderful things I do.
Look how amazing I am, everyone.
But that's where you got to believe that God knows your heart and your intent.
Right,
and if your heart and intent is, hey, I want to show people how charitable I am and how generous I am.
Yeah. That's going to come out in the wash.
You should know that that's on your heart, and God certainly would know that that was on your heart, and you shouldn't post and advertise. But if you've got your heart in check and you know that the only reason you're out there letting people know about it is because 100 people giving to this cause makes a lot more of an impact than one person giving to this cause, then I think you're okay. You're square. Go ahead and post.
Right on. Okay. Now we're rolling into prayer. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Fantastic. So when we pray, again, when we pray means he's assuming you should be praying.
Right.
There's a right way and a wrong way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Hypocrites are people who what? Do one thing, say another?
Right.
Or say one thing, rather do another?
Yes.
Okay, so he's saying, hey, hypocrite prayer, people who are of the mindset to say one thing and do another.
I just want to look good on the outside.
Just want to look prayerful,
but
not actually live prayerful.
Right.
And he's saying, don't do that. Their whole reward is going to be
the attention they got.
The attention that they got. Because God's not going to give them much of anything.
Right.
When you pray, it's better to do so in humility. Make it something that's vertical between you and the Lord, not really a show for other people.
Right.
And then I've never heard a pagan prayer because I'm not surrounded by people who have, you know, pagan gods that they're worshiping. But apparently they did a lot of babbling, incoherence, And he's saying, look, when you pray, you don't have to have a lot of words. I think one of the great challenges in praying is, what posture should I be in when I pray? Like, if I'm understanding that I'm speaking to the Almighty Creator, do I even have a voice here?
Right.
Should I be saying anything? What do I say? How do I say it? I don't want to disrespect Him. I'd rather not talk at all to the Almighty than to say the wrong things. I can get that. That's actually, you know, kind of a good attitude to have. It's a humble mindset.
Absolutely.
But He wants us to talk to Him. He wants us to pray. So He gives us some structure here. He says, hey, this is how, verse 9, you should pray. Mm-hmm. Try this.
Yeah.
And this idea of rote prayers, memorized prayers, there's probably room for it, space for it.
Sure.
The Psalms are certainly a huge collection of prayers and songs and meditations. They can also be used as models to kind of inspire, or an outline, where it kind
of
gets you started.
The level of intimacy with God. Yeah.
Where it gets you started, and you're like, okay, I got it from here. Mm-hmm. But this model that Jesus gives, why don't you talk about that for us for a little while, though?
Okay. Well, I think that the first part of this, from verse 9 and 10, I think focuses specifically on who God is and what role we recognize that He has in our lives as we come to Him. You know, I think first and foremost that He's our Father, yes, but He's also holy. Like, His name is holy. What He does is holy. And because of that, we want His kingdom to come. We want His will to be done over our own will. And I think when I pray those things specifically, it helps me to have a perspective about what I pray and the intention behind praying it.
Yeah.
You know, I think it sets me up for understanding that the priority is God's will, God's kingdom. That comes first.
Yeah, so first item in prayer, in Jesus' model here, how you should pray, is mindful of who you're speaking to.
Right.
And it's about Him. It's about His will. It's about getting our will aligned with His will.
Correct.
Before we start into other aspects of prayer.
Yeah. And I've always felt like verse 10 was really earth-shattering for me, because it says, on earth as it is in heaven. I feel like that fixes my mind on the things that I do, the things that I say. Like, would this be allowed? Would this be allowed in heaven?
Right.
This thing that just came out of my mouth, this frustration that I just had in the car because this guy turned this way, or, you know, like, how it checks me in, I guess, ultimately. Give us today our daily bread. That to me just means you're praying every day. You know, like
daily bread.
Would you like to eat?
I eat every day.
Right.
I pray every day.
Right. And which kind of reminds me of Jesus addressing His disciples, who's like, I've got food you don't know anything about. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh gosh, somebody brought Him food. And He's like, no, ding-a-ling. Like, the Father is my sustenance, you know. His will is my bread, and I love that.
And it's okay to ask God for things. He's not the mighty, holy vending machine on high.
Right, right, right.
Where we just punch in a number and expect, hey, you know, give me that Twix bar, or give me that bag of chips, whatever I asked for, you gotta give it to me. It's not like that, but God's okay with us asking.
Right, because we would ask our fathers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the next part, forgiving, asking for forgiveness specifically, but it's tied directly to, as we also have forgiven our debtors.
Right, and then He goes longer into that in verses 14 and
he
beyond.
He does. And I think that is the most challenging aspect. It's like prayer, we think, I'm asking God for things. But when you look at this template, essentially it's saying, okay, you might ask God for something, but really this is for your heart. I'm trying to help you to put yourself in the right place.
Yeah, if we have a relationship with anybody and we've sinned in that relationship and we just try to plow ahead in that relationship and don't address the thing that was done.
Right.
And we don't come to resolve there and we don't make restitution where restitution is necessary. The relationship is dying. there's toxicity in the relationship that is eventually going to kill it. And what God is inviting us to do, what Jesus is modeling for us to do, is consistently ask for forgiveness. Go back, double back the things that you right. know you did wrong. Set it right. Talk to God about it. Sort it out so that you can move ahead in the relationship. Because almost any relationship can survive hurts and sin as long as people are willing to own those
right.
and be reconciled and make right. restitution.
And it's directly tied to our forgiveness. God's like, look, don't ask something from me yeah. that you're not willing to do yourself.
Yeah.
You want my forgiveness. You covet that forgiveness.
But you haven't talked to your brother in 3 years.
Ooh. Oof. Yeah.
Right.
Yep. If you don't forgive others their sins, verse 15, your father will not forgive your sins.
Yeah.
And that's a hard teaching.
Yeah. Verse 16 gets into fasting then. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. In other words, they're doing it for show. Mm-hmm. Hey, everybody, look at me. I'm fasting away here.
I'm so hungry.
It says, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are mm-hmm. fasting. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. People seeing them, that's their whole reward.
Right.
But when you fast, put oil on your head, which is like wash your hair.
Right.
Okay. And wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting. In other words, try to look like any other day.
Don't be coming in here looking crazy yeah. and go, I'm fasting.
But only to your Father who is mm-hmm. unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret, he will reward you. So fasting is this sacred moment where you are trying to consecrate yourself. You are trying to cleanse, in essence, from distraction, from preparation for food,
right.
consumption of food, where you are intentionally inviting hunger into your life, which makes you more cognizant and aware of how vulnerable you are and how much need you have. This is all part of fasting, and it
right.
should be done really just between you and the Lord.
Right. Absolutely. I think one of the things that I'm just reading this and just convicted, like, I don't fast enough. You know what I mean? Because I don't like it.
Sure. I'm hungry,
I'm
man. You don't understand.
Throw myself
I'm hungry.
Under the bus.
I can't fast. I get hungry.
How stupid is that? But it's not because there aren't things. Like, I look at, you know, the intention for fasting. I mean, oftentimes in Scripture, it's tied directly to...
You're humbling yourself, man.
Yeah. It's tied directly to an area that you're going after in your life. Repentance. Seeking repentance in a certain area.
I need help.
Brokenness.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is a result of something that... It's a plea. A desperate plea. You know, like David when his son was dying. You know, that type of thing?
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, he died. Now I'm going to get up and wash my face. And so... I know that on the regular there are things like that that come up, but I just don't do it as frequently as I need to, even though it's not just, it's healthy.
Yeah. You bring up the David example, and this happened, if you read in 1 Samuel, is it? No, 2 Samuel, somewhere around chapter 12, 13, 14, mm-hmm. David has a son out of wedlock. That son is stricken upon birth.
Right.
Was a product of his adultery with Bathsheba. Looks like the child is going to die. David fasts, asking, begging God, please don't take the child. Please don't take the child.
Right.
And the child does get taken.
Mm-hmm.
And then David accepts that, even as he doesn't like it.
Right.
And I think I bring this up to say that fasting is sometimes something we can attempt to leverage God with. We can attempt to
right.
manipulate him with or persuade him with, like, I fasted, therefore,
right.
you got to give me this.
Right, 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 right. That's true.
And what we do when we do that, whether it's conscious or otherwise, we set ourselves up for some real bitterness toward God, because our fast, right. as great as it might be
mm-hmm.
and as sincere as it might be, God's will is what God's will is. And
right.
He has... free control over that. And so If we fast and go all out and he doesn't give us what we asked for, we can be left feeling like, well, God doesn't care. God doesn't listen.
Correct.
God doesn't recognize, you know.
Fasting's hooey.
It's, so I'm not going to do it anymore. And I just
right.
would say be careful with that. Like fast
yes.
with a genuine and sincere heart like David did.
He did.
And then when the answer came back,
no,
then mm-hmm. he accepted that. Because whether you ate for 24 hours or didn't eat for 24 hours, God never stopped being God.
Right. And he still has a very specific will that we're not always let in on.
That's right.
You know, for sure. Okay. Well, that's it for this section. Thanks so much for joining us. And we always like to send you off with a reminder.
To not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says.